We're going to turn to God's Word as we find it in the Revelation in chapter 1. The Revelation in chapter 1. And it's all right for me to say he's alive, but it's another thing for him to say I'm alive. That's our title today. Jesus says, I am alive. What a shock to those who didn't want him to be alive. We're going to read together some verses right through to verse 18. We're not going to read them all, but I'll call them out as we go along. The revelation is not John. Sorry, may I say that there is crash facilities on the way. If your children are noisy and you feel uncomfortable, there is a little crash just on the way, just outside. You may use it if you wish. It's up to you. All right. Revelation chapter 1, and we read the first verse, and then we go to verse 4. And I'll call out the verses as we go along. This is the revelation of Jesus that he gave to John. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit. This is John speaking now. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven spirits which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and behold, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he said, he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. And we trust that God will help us understand his word. I'm sure you know, as I know, that many people in the past have faked their death. They are what we call sometimes the disappeared. Some people do it because they fake their death because they're in trouble. Or we're going to be in trouble. Some people just wanted to disappear from the panic and the mess of life. Some people do it because they're trying to do an insurance scam. It's not that long ago since a couple were found after, was it 20 or 30 years, and they already had claimed insurance on their death. So some people do it because there's something crooked behind it. And then some people pass away, and there's a brand of people don't want to believe that they've passed away. And so we get sightings of the individual that has been proved without a doubt. We get sightings of these individuals that had passed away, and they supposedly turn up right around the world. Let me give you a couple of examples. Adolf Hitler. Some of his followers don't think that he died. He was buried in Magdeburg, somewhere in Germany. And even though they've got dental records proving his death, there's a brand of people who were very keen for Hitler to succeed, and they still believe, well, at least they believe on recent days, that he was still alive. I think he's dead. And I'll tell you else, somebody else, what about Michael Jackson? Huh? Now, there's a few people still today believe that Michael Jackson, because they don't have all the autopsy reports, they don't believe that Michael Jackson is dead either. They think that what he did was is a kind of a publicity stunt. It's not working. But I know the one that most people believe is not dead. And you don't want me to act like I'm sure you don't. I haven't got the hair. It's the boy with the lip. Elvis Presley. In fact, he was buried in Graceland, right beside his mother. And despite being declared on the spot, they still think that it was a wax copy, a wax statue that was laid in his coffin and not Elvis himself. And there have been numerous sightings of Elvis right around the world. I'm going to tell you, he's still alive. I saw him singing when I was over in Spain recently. Let me tell you, it's a bit of nonsense, isn't it? Let me tell you, Jesus Christ died. And he rose again. And there's no fake about it. And there's no mystery about it. And it's one of the most important truths that we could ever discover or ever survey or ever investigate in our lives. And I want you to really listen today, because this message has been on my heart for today. Jesus says, I am alive. It's interesting in that passage that we read, over and over again they use these three phrases, I was alive, was dead, and I'm alive. It's repeated four times in the passage that we have read together. It's as if the Spirit of God is wanting people, it's not as if, it is the Spirit of God wanting people to grasp this wonderful truth that Jesus is alive. It's not a mystery. It's not a fake. It's not something that's been blown out of all proportion by those who were opposed to Christ in the early days. It's a fact. Do you hear what I said there? It's a fact. Now I'm going to bring four things from this. The very fact that Jesus has risen again from the dead. Here's the first one. It's a significant contradiction to nature. Did you hear what I said? I was laughing at the couple yesterday when we were doing the vows. You see, in the rehearsal we had, there's some parts of the vows are that long that by the time I've said it and they get halfway through it, they forgot what the rest of it was. So what I did yesterday was I shortened it for Robbie. Because I knew he was having a wee bit of bother with there's one real long phrase. And I don't know how to break it up. But there's one bit of a long phrase. And I only had half the phrase. And he stood there for about a few moments. I wonder, is he not going to say this? And he was waiting for me to say the rest of it. Now let me say the rest of this again. It is a significant contradiction to nature. Now I know there's been a lot of boys who said that they had a near-death experience. In fact, I know people who they were declared medically dead for a moment and brought back to life again. And I can accept that, can't you? Boy, when they come with those car chargers, what is that? What are they? You know them things that charge the battery of a car? Or you know them big round yokes and they hit you a slap on the chest? And after, well, I don't know what they are, but whatever they are, they're pretty useful if you need them. And they fire a million bolts into your body, and all of a sudden, that wee line that was continuous, boop, goes again. I can accept that. But I tell you what, the Bible says he was dead 3 days. I know nobody who was dead for 3 days and buried, got their way out of the grave and walked among this scene. Do you know anybody? It's a significant contradiction to nature. If I were to ask you, who is the most notable illusionist or escape artist that you've ever heard of? Harry Houdini. Now, right? Do you know that he said on his death, he said to his wife Bess, he said, on the 10th anniversary of my death, I want you to go into the living room and I want you to have the telephone at hand, he says, because I'm going to contact you 10 years after I'm dead. Everybody believed he was going to do it. Guess what? Poor old Bess is waiting 20 years. Why is this important? Because Jesus said he had power over life and he has power over death. In fact, here's the way he put it. I have the power, that word power, he says, I have the right or the authority to lay down my life, and I have the right and the authority to take it up again. Now listen, a lot of boys think that perhaps he didn't die. Well, do you know what the Bible says? Because the Bible gives us a scientific and medical reason as to why we can arrive at the fact that he was dead. Whenever the soldier pierced his side, do you know what the Bible says? Blood and water came out. And those of you who are medical can tell me that once the white blood cells and the red blood cells separate, come on, Anne, you're a nurse, tell us what happens if the white blood cells and the red blood cells separate. What does that mean? You're dead. You're dead. So those boys who tried to propagate the old swoon theory that all he did was faint on the cross, Jesus Christ was dead and he came alive again. And I'll tell you why this is good news. He has power over life and he has power over death. And the Bible says he died for our justification. And it proves the very fact that he was who he said he was. It proves the very fact that he was Lord of life and he's Lord of death. And up from the grave he arose. And he can bring you out of the grave of your old spiritual death into spiritual life. Because you couldn't save yourself any more than you could lift yourself up by your own bootlaces. And there's a lot of people trying it. There's a lot of people trying to get right with God. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ died the death of a curse. Only the Romans could put anyone on a cross. Why did those people who wanted him dead, why did they want him to be tried by Rome? Because only Rome could put him on a cross. Only the Roman emperor. And what did that signify? It signified the death of a curse. What the Bible says? He hath rid us of our curse. In fact, let me find it for you. In Galatians, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. A significant contradiction to nature. You see, this spiritual life is absolutely different and completely separate from any old physical life. It's a life with a capital L, and it is God at the very center of it. Here's the second thing as we go along. It was a significant problem for his executioners. Isn't that right? They did not like his brand of life. They did not like his style of life. In other words, if you don't like the message, what do? Come on, help me out here. What do? I wonder if there are any boys in this church today with a gun or two. Some people don't like the message. Because I'll tell you why, what they want. I want, leave me alone and let me live my life. Let me do my thing. I want to live my life because after all, it's my life. It's not your life. What about this wee baby? I got her awake this morning. I've got her awake again. And she's listening with those wee blue eyes all fixed on me. I think she loves me. You see, folks, He's the author of life. In fact, the Bible says, no one has life outside of God. A miracle that I have in my arms is a life. Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it matters not how that life came about, either by accident or by plan. God was at the very center of it. I want to tell you this. Only Christ can give us life. And it's not your life to do as you like with it. Because one day we'll stand before God and I have to give a reason and account as to how and why we wasted these lives living for our own brand and our own style of living. They wanted Jesus crucified because they thought on a cross because they estimated that his life was a curse to them. And they wanted to live their life the way they wanted to live it. I wonder, is there anyone here today and you don't want Jesus? And you mightn't put him on a cross, but I tell you what, you've said no to him many times. And by your brand and by your style of living, you're saying, I'm saying no to Jesus and I'm going to go my way. You have a significant problem. Because he's coming back. Did you notice? Funny, I never noticed. See, I'm just learning too. It's true. Did you notice that it talks about his return in that passage that we read? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. I was reading in Zechariah the other day. Was it yesterday morning? I think it was yesterday morning. And Zechariah says they will behold him whom they crucified. Do you know that? The terrifying thing is multitude. Here's what the Bible says. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. But narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to heaven. And few there be that find it. But do you see there's coming a day. Listen. There's coming a day when every person will be conscious. Everyone who rejected him will be conscious that they crucified Christ. Hey? A significant problem for his executioners. Notice very quickly. Significant importance for believers. Let me share with you a lovely wee verse. You'll love this verse. Write it down in your head. You know, I can write things in my head. We hear this. It says in Psalm number 68 and verse 20, He that is our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs the issues of life. He's my source of life. But what I tell you, he came not only to give us an existence. Do you know that? Some people only have an existence. He came to give us everlasting life. And I know people just think of quantity there. Imagine living for all eternity. We're going to sing Amazing Grace at the end of the service. Not be long now. So don't worry. Hold on. We're not be long now. But amazing. Think about it. We're going to live in eternity for all eternity in one of two places. For those that shouted hallelujah early, you're coming with me. You're going to have to put up in heaven with me. Isn't that great? And there's more likely, because we're all the same. We're all redeemed sinners, aren't we? But here, listen. He didn't only come to give us quantity of life. He came to give us quality of life. That word, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In other words, he says, to give us the life of the eternal one. God's life in me. Eh? Not great. Listen, some of you folk don't know me. You probably reckon I come from a pretty rough pack. Isn't that right? How they ever arrived at me here in Abbots Cross, well, only God could have done that. But listen, I come from a rough pack. I do. There's 11 of us. The strongest survived. That's right. We used to go, it's amazing. We used to go swimming, some of you younger folk, like Stephen and Sarah, you wouldn't know this, but we used to go swimming in the flax hole. Does anybody know what a flax hole was? It's where you grow flax. But imagine swimming in the, so we could have drowned it. But only God can take a life that knew nothing about God, knew nothing about righteousness, had no desire for God, and change this old heart to someone. I'm not here trying to perform. I'm not trying to gain your acceptance either, folks. Because I know that there'll be theologians wondering, is he still close to the Bible? But what I am telling you, the life that I have is the life that God gave me. There was another Trevor Galanders used to exist. He died at the age of 26 when he was born again of God's Spirit. Well, I tell you, through the singing of Jim Reeves. But sure, he wasn't a Christian. Well, nobody, I don't know where he was or not. And even so, God used Balaam's donkey. Imagine a donkey speaking to anybody. She'll give you a heart attack. Folks, and I'll tell you why I'm pressing on this one. Because there's some people think, I couldn't live that life. Or there's other people, I've tried it. I just don't seem to be able to manage it. I mean, it's so boring. Church is boring. You ever hear that? And the Bible, oh. I'd rather be up at Port Stewart or Port Rush today on that coaster thing. I bet you, if you're going to that coaster thing in Port Rush tonight, may the fleas of 1,000 camels invest your armpits. I'll tell you where you should be on Resurrection Sunday with the people of God. That's where you should be. The world, I tell you, and you know what the world is doing? The world is organizing things to get people away from godly things in case you might get God infected. I was talking to a wee band that's going up to play in a Christian thing tonight, and they said, we're going to have to leave so early from church. A wee Christian band, a wee band that was playing here yesterday at the wedding. We're going to have to leave so early because they say the queue can be from Coleraine into Port Rush. There's that many going on this coaster thing. What a waste of time and money. This is the place. I joyed went to the house of God. Go up, they said to me. I'd rather be here than up coasting around the car parks in Port Rush, wouldn't you? Because he gives life. And he gives God's life. And I tell you, when he gives you God's life, you want to be with God's people. And God's things are special to you. And it comes alive. And the Word of God, it's like a beacon shining out on you. And you're almost blinded every time. That's the way I am. That's why I can't see very well. And at least you're blinded with God's Word. And you fall in love with Christ because you've got the life of God. And you could not live the Christian life on your own terms and on your own strength and on your own ability. It's only God. A significant importance for believers. Very quickly. A significant possession for the present. He says, I've got the keys. Notice, it says, I've got the keys of heaven and hell. Did you notice? Do you know he's Lord of heaven and hell? The devil is not Lord of hell. He does not have the keys of hell. Did you know that? At least you do, Pat. I'm getting a reaction here. Don't worry about her, Stephen. Don't you worry one bit about her. She can crawl all around as she likes. I'll tell you why I say it's important that you know where he's the keys. You see, in your unsaved days, the stuff you do, there's places you go, and there's habits you form, that you are locked in a prison. And isn't it wonderful to know that he's got the keys to let you free? And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let me read you this wee verse in Isaiah. Isaiah had his mind on it. I'm almost finished. To open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Jehovah. That's what we're looking at every Sunday night. Jehovah is Jesus Christ. And Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Makedes, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Jireh, or Jireh. You know what Jehovah Jireh means? It's wonderful. Do you know what it means? Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who sees before, who sees your need before, provides for that need in eternity. Hallelujah. lives. People locked in prisons of depression and darkness and despair and misery and guilt and shame of the past. He says, I've got the key to let you out. There's people who don't know what direction to go in life. He says, I can open doors that nobody else can do, and I can close other doors that nobody else can close. He says, I am the way. There was a man, and he went to work in Africa, in a forest. And he went to one of the natives, and he said, can you show me way to this little isolated village in the middle of the forest? And the native said, of course I can. And they were chopping away with a machete after 3 or 4 days, going through this forest. And the missionary said to the wee native, he said, are you sure you know the way? He says, know the way, I am the way. As he cut his way through the forest, Jesus cut his way through death. He cut his way through depression. He cut his way through darkness. In fact, he says, I've got the keys, because I tell you what I've done. I've beaten death. I've beaten hell. I've beaten the devil. And he's now on a long chain, and I've opened the prison doors, and all may go out. And you might be in a prison today, but I want to tell you, you need not stay there. Significant importance. Oof. A significant interest for the future. Have the keys forevermore. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now, right, Pat? She agrees. Jesus said, listen, folks. He says, I was alive, I was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Somebody once said to me, why are you preaching that out of rubbish? Well, I get that regularly. Don't get it here. Thank the Lord. They usually say, that was a good sermon, pastor. And I agree with them. But somebody once said to me, why do you keep preaching that out of rubbish? I says, to you it might be rubbish, but to God they're rubies. And then I said to them, if I'm wrong and you're right, I have nothing to lose. If you're wrong and I'm right, you have everything to lose. I'm a winner the whole way. Is he alive in your heart today? Do not miss the message of Easter. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the reality of the resurrected Christ, the living Lord Jesus, the one who brings life, the one who orders life, the one who leads in our lives. Thank you for the one who gives life. Lord, we pray that this message will not be lost on some stubborn heart. But we ask, Lord, that there will be the reality of Christ risen with healing in his wings. To some dear life, we pray. May they reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said.